Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Ah, yes. The Atlanta Hawks getting it done in 7. Now getting ready to take on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the man that helped build that squad, former assistant GM of the Golden State Warriors, now the general manager and presidente of the Atlanta Hawks, good friend Travis Schlenk. Trav, how you doing, my friend? Congratulations.
Thank you, Tommy, man. How you guys doing out there?
Doing good, doing good. Just getting excited. We got a team to pull for now. We got Hawks are fun to watch. We got the connection with you, so it's kind of like the Hawks. So thank you for that. We appreciate you getting us invested in this.
Hey, I'm glad that you have something to do tomorrow night around 5:30.
So talk a little bit about some of the key things you think took place during the last 3 or 4 years with this squad, because it wasn't too long ago that the coach that's coaching the Bucks was coaching the Hawks, and the Hawks were a pretty good team, and then all of a sudden things fell apart, guys started going every which way, he was out, goes to Milwaukee, and Atlanta kind of had to start from scratch. And you built that thing up, and I'm just curious from your standpoint, when you look back on it, what are some of the critical things in your mind that led you to this point?
Well, so when I first came here in 2017, you know, the team, as you mentioned, I think the year, 2015, the year the Warriors won their first championship, you know, the Hawks won 60 games that year and were the number one seed in the East. Ended up getting swept out of the playoffs by the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then the following year, I think they won 48 games, lost in the first and second round. And then the year that I was hired, I believe they lost in the first round and won 42 games. So, you know, that group had a good run. You know, the Hawks had been in the playoffs 10 straight years. And, you know, it was just kind of guys were getting older. We just felt like, you know, they peaked out that group together. There were several free agents that summer when I got here. Tim Hardaway Jr. was a restricted free agent. Paul Millsap was an unrestricted free agent. Al Horford had left the year before. They had given Dwight Howard a big contract the summer before I got there at free agency. So we made the decision, my group, along with ownership, that it was time to hit the reset button and, you know, kind of start over fresh. So, you know, we were able to move Dwight's contract for a shorter contract. We let Millsap walk in free agency, and then we declined to match Tim Hardaway's offer sheet he got from the Knicks. And, you know, by doing those three things, you know, moving three good players and or letting three players go, you know, we were committed to rebuilding through the draft. So we used our cap space to take on picks. And, you know, fortunately we got lucky that year with the 19th pick in the draft, and we got John Collins there. And then the following year we had two first round picks and, you know, made the trade, the third pick for the fifth pick and what turned out to be the 10th pick the following year. And we had the 19th pick as well. So we, you know, two drafts in a row, we had the 8th and 10th pick 1 year, and then we had the second year, we had the third pick, and we were able to turn the third pick into two more picks. So we just went full bore into the draft, and that's really, you know, I guess what happened that got we lucky is we, you know, we're able to find players that, you know, are all helping us now in the playoffs. That was the lucky part of it all.
Yeah. What about what the growth of Trae Young, because it's pretty impressive watching him out there on the court, and I didn't realize the toughness that this kid had, and not watching him game in and game out. I always knew he was a fantastic passer. He's got the float game. He's a good shooter, not a great shooter, but a good shooter. But he just he gets in there. He gets after it, man. He doesn't back down from anything, and he's not afraid. If he's missing shots, he'll still find a way to impact the game, but he's not going to back down from shots if they're open shots. I mean, I think that bleeds over into the entire team, but I think more people are starting to see it now that this kid's more than just the kid out of Oklahoma that was, you know, bombing 30-footers on ESPN.
Yeah, no, to be honest with you, I don't know how many people really, you know, paid that close of attention to us, you know, his first 2.5 years in the NBA. But you hit on a lot of things that, you know, stand out about him, and, you know, the toughness is one of them. You know, every court he's walked on probably since he was about a junior in high school, he's been the smallest guy on the court. But at the same time, every court he's walked on over that time, he feels like he's the best player on that court. And, you know, that, some might say, irrational confidence, it's hard to replace. But he does. He has supreme confidence out there. And he's got unbelievable feel for the game of basketball and being able to see things before they happen. And, you know, he plays with that chip on his shoulder as, you know, probably never the guy that's picked first before. And that's just how he approaches every single game. And you're right, it does rub off on our guys. We've kind of said a couple times, or the guys have said publicly a couple times during this playoff, you know, we don't have an all-star on our roster. We don't have a member of the all-defensive team on our roster. You know, we just go out there and we play. We believe in ourselves, the guys, you know, especially since Coach McMillan has taken over, has, you know, preached from day one, you know, believe that we have the talent to do it because we do. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to win some games early on when he took over. And, you know, that belief has really crept into all their minds. And then they all believe that we can go out there and compete with anyone.
I know that was a hard decision for you, the, you know, letting Lloyd Pierce go and bringing on Nate. Talk about that decision and what went into that. I mean, obviously it was the right move because look where you guys are at, and Nate McMillan's a fantastic coach. No one doubts that. He's got, you talk about toughness, no one's tougher than Nate McMillan, but I mean, I know it was a tough call for you. It's got to be. I mean, you're telling a guy he doesn't have a job anymore, but what gave you the belief that, you know what, this is going to be a tough thing to do, but I know it's the right thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have a lot of respect for Coach Pierce, and, you know, he's going to be successful in this league. You know, it just, I don't know how it's, you know, you've been in those locker rooms before, but you just get this feeling that the change is needed. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, during the seasons, there's not that many way to make changes. You know, not a lot of teams are looking to make trades at that point in the season. You know, that happens as a trade deadline, and we were, you know, down to 6 games under .500. You know, we had confidence in our group, and we just felt like we needed to make a change. And it really was just kind of that simple. And, you know, we decided to pull the trigger. And, you know, fortunately it worked out for us.
You know, Travis, I don't think we've ever met, but I'm a huge fan of your career from afar. And listening to you talk, I mean, you're way, way too humble here. I mean, you're a great evaluator, man. I mean, you got John Collins at 19. You got Herder, who I loved at Maryland. You got him at 19. It took huge guts to trade the pick for Doncic for Trae Young. That's looking good. And then Bogdanovich, Gallinari, turning Rondo into Lou Williams, you know, turning Covington into Capella. You guys beat Atlanta because you were the better team. You were the deeper, more diverse offensive attack team. And you know, so you, the credit goes to you, I think. I really do believe that. But I always wanted to ask you, as somebody who's been around some great personnel people, you were with the Warriors, with Miami, who has had the biggest impact on your personnel evaluation career?
You know, that's a good question. As you mentioned, I've been unbelievably fortunate in my time in the NBA to work for some of the, you know, the best names in the history of the league, you know, from Chuck Daly, Pat Riley, Jerry West, you know, to start with those three, and Don Nelson, clearly. So I've been really fortunate. But I guess from the personnel standpoint of it, that would go to Nelly. You know, Nelly came to me when I was in Golden State and I was a back row assistant coach, and he told me, you know, I need you to go to the personnel side. You know, you have a really good eye for talent. And, you know, at first I was kind of hurt. because, you know, I thought I was a good coach, but apparently not. I went to the front office side of it. Larry Riley became GM, and, you know, I became director of player personnel, and, you know, we got lucky that year as well. You know, that was, you know, Larry's first draft, my first draft, and, you know, with the 7th pick, Steph Curry happened to be there, and the rest is kind of history for the Warriors from there on out. So I guess I'll give him credit for at least pushing me that direction. It never even crossed my mind to do that. But he must have seen something there, realized I was a bad coach, and wanted to get me off his staff.
And let's shout out Larry Riley. Give him his flowers, as he's one of our favorites and a guy that I don't believe gets enough credit for, you know, what the Warriors have accomplished and where they may go here in the future. So we're talking to Travis Schlenk, Hawks executive here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. So I want to stay with your time in Golden State, and you know, has that informed you right now in your position with the Hawks with respect to, you know, your agency and what you and this Hawks organization has done? What were you able to take from your time with the Warriors and apply to right now?
Well, I think, you know, when I started in Atlanta, you know, the way that we went about building the Warriors in the early days, you know, from skill basketball players, you know, you become very hard to guard when you have multiple players on the floor who all can make plays, right? The phrase that I use all the time is dribble, pass, and shoot. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like there's always a player where you can hide a weak defender player, but you get into a lot of trouble, especially this time of year in the NBA, if you've got multiple players on the floor who can't create players on their own. You know, at this time of the year, every team knows every other player's play calls. They know every player's tendency. So if you don't have multiple players on the floor, they can go out there, put the ball on the floor, make plays for themselves or others. It becomes really hard to have, you know, big success in postseason basketball. So that would be the first thing. And then the other thing that I don't think people think about enough, you know, one of the big things that, you know, we built the Warriors foundation on was the character of the individual players. And that's certainly one of the big foundational pieces we use here in Atlanta as well. Because, you know, the old saying goes, one bad rotten apple can spoil the whole bunch. And that is so true. You know, if you have one guy in the locker room who, you know, I like to say every day is a rainy day in the world, they can bring the whole group down. So, you know, the character of the individuals and then obviously, you know, multidimensional skill talents, those are kind of the two foundations that we used in both different organizations.
What about bringing in Gallinari and Williams? Because we always talk about you got to be able to play defense. I mean, those two guys, I mean, the only way they'd make an all-defensive team is if everybody else died in the league. That's about it. But they can hit shots, and they can hit big-time shots, and they're not afraid to shoot those shots. I'm wondering, do we overrate defense? And not that you don't have to play defense, but if you can follow a game plan and play team defense, if you have individual defenders like you guys do with the Warriors, it makes things a hell of a lot easier when you have, like, four guys in the court that can keep guys in front of you, and they're also smart. I mean, then it makes it nearly impossible to beat a team with that firepower. But if you don't have that, can you just get guys who, like, you know what? I've always thought of basketball as an offensive game anyway, but maybe I overrate defense a little bit in that it's important. But if you're going to give me a choice, give me the guy that can make shots over the guy that can play good defense but maybe isn't a great shot maker.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree with that. I think, you know, just talking about those two guys, you know, in general, and really most guys, like, the best offensive players in the NBA, you're not guarding those guys one-on-one anyway.
Yeah.
So you're talking about team defense. You know, the most common action in the NBA right now is pick and roll. So that's a team defensive concept. You know, unless you're switching it like you're talking about and you have, you know, multi-positional defensive players, that's great. But, you know, the vast majority of situations, you know, you're talking about team concepts when you're guarding that action, or when, you know, when you're guarding, you know, pin down actions or floppy actions, you know, those are team reactions to a situation. So, you know, you're talking about a guy like Gallo who maybe doesn't have the best foot speed in the world, but he's an extremely smart player and he recognizes situations and he knows where he's supposed to be on help defense. Because if you go out there and just, you know, play one-on-one defense all over the court, you're probably not going to be very successful in the NBA because these players are just too good offensively.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Travis, Sixers were an incredible home team the last couple of years. They were 61-9 at home over the last 2 years. You guys went in there and beat them three times on their home floor, and you've put together five road wins in this playoff run so far. Does that surprise you? What is the key to winning on the road? You got to be proud of your group to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, you know, clearly, you know, Joel Embiid was not 100%, even though he put up numbers like he was. You know, he was, you know, especially late in games, you know, his production, you know, went down, but he was playing on a torn knee. But, you know, I think it's just the resilience of our group. You know, you've got to be able to go into buildings and, you know, thrive off the energy. And, you know, that's one of the things Trey is unbelievable at. You know, he wants that role of everybody yelling at him. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, they're yelling at him, I can't say on air here, but, you know, he gets energy from that and he loves it and he accepts that role. I mean, I'm sure you've all seen the clip of him bowing to the MSG crowd, you know, waving goodbye to the Philly crowd. He loves that moment and he lives for it. And I think when you have a guy that embraces it, it just gives everyone else confidence. You know, if they were all cursing at him collectively, 20,000 people cursing at him, and you saw a fear in his face, I think the group would have fear. But, you know, he sees that and he just starts smiling, and it gives everyone else confidence that, you know, he's loving that moment as well.
A couple last ones.
It's like Steve Jaffe back in the day, Tom. You remember Steve Jaffe? Nothing made Steve Jaffe more happy than to blow his whistle and have 20,000 people boo it.
That's why you wanted Jaffe on the road. That's why you wanted Jaffe on the road.
Any 50-50 call, I promise you, it was going to go against the home team.
Oh, absolutely. It was basically an FU to the home team. Like, yeah, you take this, put this in your pipe and smoke it. Oh, you saw him on the road, you're like, oh yeah, that's what I like to see. You mentioned irrational confidence. I want to ask you about Herter, because this guy is pretty amazing the last couple games, especially game seven in Philly. There was a part of him that was like, dude, just take a breath, calm down, you got other guys on the team too. But he was just like, I got a smaller guy, I'm taking him, and I'm just going to go. And I was like, hey, this guy's like Klay Thompson out there. He's like, just one dribble, pull-up shot, you know, coming off a pick and roll, one dribble, pull-up shot, take it to the hole. And then he got confidence. I think he started 3-for-3, and then he was rolling. But his confidence, I mean, you can almost see it in the whole team. Like, no one's afraid to make a play, and you think, if you're Kevin Herter, you don't want to go out there and force things early. You know, you're probably a third, fourth option. But he was like a top two option when he was on the court in game seven, and I think his confidence had a lot to do with that. I mean, this guy's just brimming with confidence out there. Even if he misses, he's not afraid to go take that shot again.
Yeah, no, you know, Kevin kind of has a bad rap. You know, people, when they think of him, you know, they just kind of think he's a shooter. And certainly he's a good shooter, but, you know, he's not a great shooter. What Kevin really is best at is what you just talked about. You know, at 6'7" with good athleticism, when he gets in the middle of the lane for that little, you know, 4 or 5 foot pull-up jump shot, he has the length and the athleticism just to jump over the vast majority of players that guarded him and knock that shot down. And what you saw in game seven there is, you know, kind of what we have been preaching for him to do more of, is to take his guy off the bounce and get in the lane and make that little shot. You know, as we talked about, you know, if you have 4 or 5 guys on the perimeter that all can do that, you know, they're trying to hide somebody defensively. And with Philadelphia, unfortunately, that was Seth. Yep. And, you know, we knew that, and Kevin knew that, and Kevin went right at him all game long and was able to take advantage of that matchup for us when we needed it the most.
Hey, let's keep it real, though. People have been looking at Kevin Herter on a basketball court, sizing him up and underestimating him his whole life. And at some point in time in his basketball development, he had enough of it. And then when that size started to match that that having enough of it, that's when we got to Kevin Herter we saw in Game 7. Because y'all know full well, they look at that guy with that red hair and go, I can take him. And the next thing you know, his bucket's in your eye. Can we keep it real, please? Can we keep it real?
The red hair's not helping him. The red hair's not helping him.
And he's hurting the opposition when they think it's all sweet, when they see the red-headed cat stepping on the court.
Come on, dude. You want to keep it real? He's white. They're like, he can't dribble. He's just going to shoot. That's all he's going to do. What are you talking about? That dude just dribbled twice and shot it. What the hell is going on around here? Unbelievable. Hey, let me ask you. How fortuitous slash important was it to get Bogdanovich? Because he was going to Milwaukee, and then something happened, and he wasn't going to Milwaukee, and then all of a sudden you guys traded for him. How important, again, how fortuitous was that, do you think? And then how important was it to have this guy? Because you want to talk about tough. This dude's tough. I mean, he gets in there and he mixes it up. I mean, he's not one of those soft, like when you think of European players back when I was playing, you think floppers and soft. This guy is anything but that. How fortuitous slash important was that?
Yeah, no, that was a big signing for us. You know, we actually we offered a pick for him from Sacramento, and they turned it down, and we did the offer sheet anyway, and they didn't match. So we got him for nothing. You know, he's a really good player. Again, another guy that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, he's just a spot up shooter, but you know, he's so much more than that. Obviously, he's very good at shooting the basketball, but he can put it on the floor, he can get in the lane, and he can create for others. Again, all those things we're looking for. From an offensive player on the perimeter. But I think as you alluded to, you know, he's an extremely tough basketball player. You know, in the first round, you know, he was one of the guys that was tasked with guarding Julius Randle, you know, who's got, you know, oh, I don't even know, 5-6 inches on him and probably 100 pounds. But, you know, going back to when I used to watch Bogdan play in, you know, EuroLeague, you know, he played a lot of three over there at 6'4", and, you know, he'd try to get post up, but he has the strength to battle in the post. And, you know, last series versus the Sixers, you know, he's on Tobias Harris to start every game because we had, you know, our power forward guard Ben. And Tobias obviously is another, you know, 6'8", strong guy. And, you know, it's just hard for those guys to post him up because he's so strong and he doesn't back down. And when they face him up, you know, now he's got the advantage, right, because he's lower, he can get underneath them and get to the dribble, and they're uncomfortable. So his defensive versatility, and again, when anyone thinks of Bogdanovich, the word defender is not going to pop into your mind. But with his toughness and his IQ, he's been a very effective defender for us, especially versus larger players.
All right, put this to bed for me. Do you have the best Bogdanovich?
Well, I don't know all of them out there. I mean, when you're talking about the Adriatic part of the world, that's like the last name Jones.
That's Kruger. That's exactly. Kruger's league right there, the Adriatic league.
The Adriatic league.
Intimately exactly. Familiar with that league.
Love it.
Hey, man, congratulations. I couldn't be happier for you. We're all rooting for you. We'd love to see you take this thing to the finish line. It's a real fun story, and it's a fun team to watch too. You guys play a fun style of basketball, so best of luck in Milwaukee tomorrow night, and good luck, my friend.
I appreciate it. No, it's a good time to be an Atlanta Hawks fan. You know, the vast majority of our young guys are still in their early 20s, so if we can keep them all together and keep everyone healthy, we should have a chance to have a few good years in front of us.
Absolutely. Good luck, Trav. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate
it. Hey, guys.
Thanks, Travis. Take it easy, man.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.